The season of Advent is constantly trying to slow us down, just enough to think more, to ask questions, but better questions than we might otherwise. Not banal questions like, are we ready for Christmas? I'm absolutely not. Is the house guest ready? Again, big no. But deeper questions for us, like, where is God when the world feels unstable? And how does faith speak honestly in moments of fear? Unfortunately for us, Isaiah and Matthew invite us right into those very questions today. Our first reading from Isaiah places us in a moment of real political terror. Jerusalem is threatened. King Ahaz is afraid. Empires are on the move. Alliances are fragile. And the future of Judah feels deeply, deeply uncertain. Isaiah is not speaking abstract theology or a distant prediction set to happen in the future. But as biblical scholar Pete Enns notes, Isaiah is functioning as a crisis manager. He's interpreting the present political moment through trust in God rather than in military alliances or imperial power. And Isaiah offers Ahaz a sign. The sign is not some cosmic spectacle. It is not thunder or fire coming down from heaven. It's really ordinary. Look, the young woman is with child and she'll bear a son, and she'll name him Emmanuel. In its original Hebrew context, this verse is not about a miraculous virginal conception. The Hebrew term used here just simply means young woman of marriable age. It's not the technical term for virginity. And even more important, the grammar of this sentence indicates that the woman is already pregnant. Isaiah is pointing to something visible in his very own time, not predicting an event that would happen centuries in the future. Basically, Isaiah is saying, look at that girl over there. She's pregnant. She's going to have a kid, and she'll name him Emmanuel. And so the sign that Isaiah is giving, it's not a biological miracle, but it is theological reassurance. Because the child's birth marks this relatively short time frame before this current political crisis, before it dissolves. I mean, a pregnancy only lasts 9 months, and she's already pregnant. And children eat curds and honey, basically, when they're weaned, around 24 months. So within a couple years, this whole thing is going to be done. And Emmanuel, God is with us, is not a claim that that child is divine. It's a proclamation of trust that God has not abandoned the people in the midst of all of this fear, and that this, what is going on right now, will not last forever. And that context matters because it tells us something essential about how God works in Scripture. God doesn't wait to show up only in these big and extraordinary moments, but God appears in ordinary bodies, in ordinary pregnancies, in ordinary families, right in the middle of a political mess and social upheaval. And centuries later, Matthew's gospel returns to that same verse from Isaiah. But Matthew is not claiming Isaiah secretly predicted Jesus. Instead, Matthew is rereading Israel's scriptures through the lens of Jesus, finding patterns and resonances more than a one-to-one prediction. As Amy Jo Levine and Mark Brettler emphasize in their book, The Bible With and Without Jesus, this is not about right versus wrong readings, but it's about different starting points. A Jewish one and a Christian one. And they're both approaching the same text. And that brings us to Joseph. Joseph, like Ahaz, faces a crisis. His plans have collapsed. Mary is pregnant. Child's definitely not his. Matthew calls Joseph righteous. But it's not because Joseph enforces the law harshly. But instead, it's because he chooses compassion and mercy over the law. He resolves to protect Mary from public shame. And then comes a dream. And dreams matter in Matthew's gospel. They connect the Joseph to Israel's memory, especially the earlier Joseph of the technicolor dream coat variety, the son of Jacob, whose faithfulness in dreams saved his whole family. And Matthew deliberately places Jesus within Israel's story, not outside of it. The angel's message to Joseph is simple, but it's demanding. Do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. Name that child Jesus, Joshua, or more correctly, Yeshua, meaning God saves. And then Matthew reaches back to Isaiah and proclaims, "This is Emmanuel." Matthew is not saying that Isaiah predicted a miraculous birth centuries ahead of time. He is saying that the promise Isaiah spoke into one moment of fear, that God is with us, has taken on a new depth and a new meaning in Jesus. The same God present in Judah's political crisis is now present in the vulnerability and mercy and courageous obedience. And this is where Advent challenges us. Because we are immersed in our consumer-driven and instant gratification culture, we often want Emmanuel, God with us, to mean comfort without disruption, safety without any risk. A God who reassures us without changing us. But Isaiah's Emmanuel appears during fear, not after it. And Matthew's Emmanuel arrives through scandal and uncertainty and trust without any guarantees. Joseph's obedience doesn't erase danger, but it opens a faithful path forward. And for us, as a people living through political polarization, climate anxiety, global violence, and social fracture, this matters profoundly. Advent does not promise easy answers or escape from the world's complexity. But it does promise us God's presence within it. A presence that calls for courage rather than certainty. God is with us in contested bodies. God is with us in imperfect decisions. God is with us when faith looks less like confidence and more like trust. Matthew's gospel begins with Emmanuel, God with us, and ends with Jesus' promise, "I am with you always." The assurance that opens the story continues to carry it forward. And so Advent then is not about waiting for everything to be resolved. It's about learning to recognize the divine presence that is already unfolding, sometimes quietly, sometimes inconveniently, even in the midst of uncertainty and when things feel so far from finished. And so as Christmas draws near, the invitation is not simply to believe that God is with us, but to ask ourselves what that presence calls forth from us. Like Joseph, will we choose compassion over fear? Like Isaiah, will we trust God's presence in ordinary signs? Or like Mary, will we consent to a future that we cannot fully control? Because the promise of Advent is not only about a child born long ago. It is this: God is still with us.